good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. Scott Spear is with you here Thursday, October 26th, 2017, 1:15 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. This is the Now program, and we will be joined momentarily by WSYX WTTE meteorologist Jim Ganahl, who recently returned to the airwaves after leaving WCMH Channel 4. He will be with us in about 14 minutes. But we do have time to talk about anything going on in the news. If there's anything out there that's of any interest to you, please give me a call, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944, and we will be sure to get you on the air. Now, we do have some information to pass along. The following are the dates and times for area trick-or-treats for 2017. So here are the trick-or-treat times for the upcoming season. Marion's will be held at 5:30 to 7 p.m. on Halloween, October 31st. Caledonia, 5:30 to 7 p.m. on Halloween, October 31st. Green Camp will be 5:30 to 7 p.m. on October 31st. LaRue, 5 to 6:30 p.m., a little earlier, on October 31st. Morrill, 5:30 to 7 p.m. on Halloween, October 31st. New Bloomington, 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. on October 30th. Prospect is 5 to 6:30 p.m. on October 31st with the parade at 7 p.m. The Prospect Halloween Parade will be at 7 p.m. And Waldo will be 5:30 to 7 p.m. on October 31st. And, of course, Halloween, October 31st, is next Tuesday. So those are all of the times and areas where Halloween will be taking place. Looks like everybody except New Bloomington will be on Halloween night. New Bloomington will be on Monday night, October the 30th, 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. There you have it. Now, want to mention some other things as well here, since we have the time. The Vietnam Veterans of America Chapter 1117 Breakfast is the last Saturday of the month, 7:30 to 10:30 a.m., which will be this coming Saturday. VFW Post 7201, 1614 Marion Marysville Road. This event is open to the public. Remember, that's the Vietnam Veterans of America Chapter 1117 Breakfast, last Saturday of the month, 7:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m., VFW Post 7201, 1614 Marion Marysville Road, and this event is open to the public. The Mid-Ohio Food Bank, in partnership with Logos Christian Ministries, has the free produce market the second Saturday of every month, 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. That's Logos Christian Ministries, 582 Lee Street, here in Marion. Free fresh food to local individuals and families in need. No appointment, pre-registration, or paperwork is required. Individuals simply will be asked to sign in at the produce market and provide name and number of people in their family. You must be income eligible. That is the free produce market at Logos Christian Ministries, the second Saturday of every month. Now, let's see here. Coming up at the Coliseum, nothing really going on at the fairgrounds until Christmas by Candlelight. That will start on November 23rd. That will start November 23rd and run through Christmas, December 25th. Can you believe all of this stuff is just right around the corner? Christmas will be here before you know it. Thanksgiving is under a month away, and Halloween is next week. So we blew right through summer, and now we are heading into the fall with all the events that go on in the fall. So that's the way it is. Again, telephone lines are open, 740-383-9944. I guess the big news in the world now is everything that seems to be going on as it concerns sexual harassment. It's a very interesting world. I think it started a couple years ago with Bill Cosby, and now Harvey Weinstein, and now a whole nother can of worms has opened. Bill O'Reilly, Mark Halperin this morning announcing he is leaving his post at NBC News for the time being because he's accused of sexually harassing some women back when he was with ABC. President George H.W. Bush, that's the father, for patting some women on the behind. I don't know. He apologized yesterday. It's mind-blowing that all these things happened. And I don't know if people thought they were okay at the time or people were fearful to speak out. It seems like people were fearful to speak out, and that's a terrible, terrible thing when you're scared to speak out if you feel you were sexually harassed. And I guess the important thing to understand is it's not the intention. It's not if you meant to do it. It's how did they perceive it. You have to be very, very, very careful when you approach people, because there's no reason that you should make anybody feel uncomfortable in a social or work setting. And if you are making them feel uncomfortable, then we have a problem, which we are finding out. What do you think out there? We have about 8 minutes before Jim Ganahl will join us. What do you think out there in listener land? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And certainly, we want to thank John Wesley for coming on last hour and remembering his friend Robert Guillaume. Mr. Guillaume was on this show, like I say, about 25 times in the last... I think he started coming on back when I was at WMRN about 10 years ago. So he has been on quite a bit, about 25, 30 times, and he would come on and do those little skits with me, and he was always just so funny. Robert Guillaume had a way of delivering a line that I just thought was hilarious. I just could not get over his poise and gait and the way he spoke. It was always so unbelievably fascinating to me how good he was. He was the best, without question the best. And we will certainly miss him now that he has gone on this life. But 89 years old, certainly is not bad. That's a good, long life. And Mr. Guillaume, I believe, lived a good, long life. And starting yesterday, we are now airing an interview in its entirety that I did with Robert Guillaume back in 2011. So if you stay tuned to the station, you will hear an interview. We go through his entire career from the time he was born, through soap, through Benson, through his early Broadway days, through Phantom of the Opera, through the stroke he suffered, all the way up through 2011. That interview is airing here on WWGH Radio now in the repeat portion. And I think you can get that online too, WWGH1071.com. Remember, all of our interviews dating back 2 years, thanks to our webmaster, Adam Lepp. We certainly thank him for doing that. Remember, tomorrow morning, Friday morning, kicks off with the Theology Guys at 10:10 a.m. Then at 11 a.m., a special abbreviated version of this program. Remember that now. We are on Friday mornings, 11:10 a.m. till 12 noon, with the Now program, and we'll be on tomorrow morning at that time. 12 p.m., the Exchange Club, Marge Hazelett, Charlie Evers, and myself, and then the Charlie Evers Show, Friday afternoon, 1:10 to 3 p.m., You don't want to miss any of that on Friday. Fridays here on WWGH Radio are the place to be. Any day here on WWGH Radio is the place to be. Robert Guillaume, one of the things that I found most interesting about Mr. Guillaume was how he handled his stroke. he really would talk about the day he had the stroke, and he would talk about what he went through, and he would talk about the fear that was involved with it, and going back to work. Boy, in that interview from 2011, which I hope you do catch in the repeats here on the station or on the website, I hope you get to hear that, because nobody, in my opinion, spoke more eloquently or brilliantly about having a stroke. And it was a stroke that did leave a lot of effect on Mr. Guillaume. He did have some paralyzation, I believe, in his left arm. I believe he did use a cane for most of the rest of his life. So it did slow up his speech a little bit. So it lasted, and we learned there from John Wesley in the last hour that he had battled prostate cancer for something like 26 years. Amazing. I never would have known it. He didn't complain. He didn't talk about it. And in the end, I guess it was another stroke that ended up taking the life of Robert Guillaume, which apparently happened about a week ago. And again, Robert Guillaume, best known for his work on Benson and Phantom of the Opera, and as the voice of Rafiki in The Lion King, died on Tuesday at the age of 89. And remember, coming up here in about 3 minutes, we're going to be joined by a legendary meteorologist. Everybody knows his name in Central Ohio, Jim Ganahl, coming up in about 3 minutes here. So that is going to be a lot of fun to talk with Jim. We've had him on the program before, and he always is an absolute pleasure to have on. So we are looking forward to that as we continue on with the program today, 27 minutes past 1 o'clock on this Thursday, October the 26th, 2017. And we are so happy to be joined via telephone by a great guy serving the Central Ohio area for well over 40 years. He must have started when he was about 3 years old. You can catch him now back on the tube, back on the television with WSYX and WTTE doing the noon weather forecast, which he just did about an hour ago. We're so glad to welcome to these microphones, as we always are, legendary Central Ohio meteorologist Jim Ganahl. Jim, how are you?
How'd you know it was me on the phone ID?
We did. Caller ID has set everybody off now.
Oh, okay. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jim. How are you?
Pretty good. Love this time of the year.
It isn't, you know, fall in Ohio. I don't know. The people who go down to Florida, I would miss it.
Oh, gosh, no kidding. I was mentioning today the rustling of leaves. That is such a wonderful sound, and we'll hear that tomorrow. And have a beautiful Indian summer day tomorrow.
You know, Jim, we had Sarah Perold on a few weeks ago from the Old Farmer's Almanac.
Oh, okay.
And her prediction for this part of the area is more snow than we've had in the last few years.
But well, that's pretty easy. We had like 9 inches last winter.
Well, what has happened, Jim? What is going on here?
What do you mean?
With winter in Ohio.
Well, you have some good ones and you have some bad ones, and it all depends on the location of the jet stream right around Thanksgiving, because that's the highway for storms. If you're north of it, you're cold and snowy. If you're south of it, you're mild and dry. And once it sets up there at the end of November, that tends to be the repeating pattern for the whole winter. So for the last couple of winters, the jet stream is set up to the north of us. And it's like a teeter-totter. In the west, they have winters sometimes that were milder, and you can flip it the other way very easily.
You know, we always hear, boy, I can never remember it being like this, but back in 2015, Christmas Eve was 70-something degrees.
Oh, yeah, you get days like that.
Oh, my goodness.
Actually, we think we have a little bit of a pattern here. We always say if you don't like cold weather, you always get one 80-degree day in October, a 70-degree day in November, a 60-degree day in December. No matter how cold it is, you'll get a 50-degree day in January, then 60 in February and 70 in March. So if you don't like the cold, you can hold out for that one warm day every month.
Do you tend to agree with the Farmer's Almanac that we're going to have more snow, but the temperatures aren't going to be so bad?
Well, again, you have to wait till the end of November to have that be anything but a guess. Anything before then is a guess. And winter sets up really nicely once we get toward the end of November and see where the jet stream is located.
How is predicting the weather different now from when you started back in the 80s? 70s?
Well, I actually started in 1966.
66.
We didn't have satellite and we didn't have radar, and the National Weather Service wasn't even issuing warnings for tornadoes back at that time. So there have been huge changes in those areas. But as far as long-range predicting, I am really surprised that never really got much better.
You know, I always hear this from people. They say, boy, the meteorologists must have something lined up with the grocery stores, because when the meteorologists say there's going to be a big snowstorm, people flood the grocery stores, but the storms haven't come as of late.
Well, the last 2 years, no. Yeah. But as far as predicting winter weather, I find that to be the most fun of the whole year as far as predicting.
Is it tough to go on the air and be wrong? Nobody's right all the time.
Gosh, I don't know. You can't be wrong on the next day forecast very often anymore. Well, I mean, I really don't think so. But if something happens, it'll happen in the wintertime, because a 1 degree temperature difference makes a difference between rain or snow, whereas the summer it's just rain no matter what happens. But in the wintertime, yes, you can get things like that. But as long as you explain to people what caused that change, so there's never any problem with it. They like to learn.
When you are doing the weather out of Columbus, how much thought do you put into the outlying areas like Marion?
Well, Fredericktown had 22 this morning, and Possum Run Road up around Mansfield always is one of the coldest spots. We pay attention to those as well. And we are have to do Marion County, Kenton County, Wyandotte counties as part of our legal agreements with the FCC on all warning systems. So you get the same amount of attention as every other county in Central Ohio. The problem arises is that, say I have a warning for Ross County, well then you don't care about that if you live in Marion County, and so you can get frustrated that we have to break into a program. You want it just for you, but we have responsibilities to all these counties, and so that's one of the more stressful things as far as doing that job.
What is a typical day like?
Well, I look at weather 24 hours a day. Day, night, it doesn't matter. When I wake up in the morning, it's the first thing I look at and check. And so I'm never not thinking weather, ever. And I'm always thinking about, well, what interests me today? When I talk about something on the TV, I always want to know, does this interest me or not? And if it doesn't, I don't tend to use it.
How has internet changed what you do?
Tremendously. Because people can get instant kind of weather and instant kind of forecast. The apps, though, are, we just throw up our hands at those, because I don't even know who does that, or if they're just computer models or algorithms. But those are the ones where you find the more mistakes than from any weather person that's actually doing it here in Central Ohio. But we need social media, so we're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, and I noticed when I was not working, when I was retired last year, when I was covering a severe weather event, I had more people viewing those posts than I did had watching TV when I was on it.
You know, Jim, when I said you were going to be on the program today, we had people here in the studio say, Jim's back on television. He's back WTTE. How did this all come about?
Well, I retired last September. And it was a good time to retire. It was my 50th anniversary of being on TV. And I have 7 grandkids, so that sounded like a good thing. And we were coming out of storm season, and I hate storm season because it's so stressful, and I don't like to break into the program. So anyhow, September came along, and it seemed like a good idea to retire. But over the course of the last year, I have been you know, bored. I don't know, depressed is the word, but I just haven't felt like there's been any purpose. I don't know if a lot of people feel that when they retire. And so when Bill Kelly left Channel 6, I asked them, and they accepted. And I thought, well, this is going to be pretty good. And at my age, I'm almost 70, I'm getting to start a new job. I mean, who gets to do that? It's just absolutely fantastic and wonderful. I'm so excited about it, and I'm really enjoying it. I don't think a lot of people know yet that I'm back on TV, but it probably saved my life, actually.
In what way?
Well, it gives me purpose. It gets me around people, and that's a big problem when people retire. They don't feel a purpose, and they don't have the social networks going for them again, and they're more alone, and those things aren't good things to happen when you get to be, you know, our age, my age, not yours. And so I've told them many times, this is just like a godsend to be able to come back to work and still be enthusiastic about work every single day, because it's like a hobby to me.
How different is it going to play for another team?
Well, surprisingly, Marshall McPeak is there, and we work together at 4, and my producer is there, Allison Wellman, Liz Lane, another producer's there, so there probably are a dozen people over there that I've worked with before, and so it's been very, very easy.
I was interested to read that you said when you made the jump, when you went on the air, you were terrified.
Absolutely.
Why?
I didn't know if I could still do this. I'm not the most perfect when it comes to speaking, public speaking. I sometimes kick words, and I thought, I didn't know if I could do this. So it was pretty terrifying moment. And I was still a little bit nervous about it. But I told Ben Gelber a long time ago, and he agrees with me, that's the one thing I've been surprised about. I've been doing something for 50 years, and I'm still nervous doing it. You would have thought that would have gone away, but it never did.
What do you think changes you can bring, things you can do for WTT, WSYX?
Well, I'm always up on folklore. I'm always up on past history, and so many newscasts around the country these days are controlled by consultants, and they have like a definite format for a weathercast. So at 6, we are allowed to do all those things that I think people really listen to more than the forecast. And so if you're talking about a little bit of folklore, that's going to be what people talk about the next day. And so it isn't as serious, and I have knowledge from all my years of what's happened, not only in weather, but also news, because you had to watch all the newscasts. And so hopefully that's going to translate over, and I love my bosses at Channel 6.
In 2014, you came out to the public about a health problem that you were having. How are things?
Well, I had gotten into my uniform, my military uniform, and immediately after that, in 2012, I gained 90 pounds, and I didn't know why, and it was all fluid, and nobody could really figure it out. And it turned out to be congestive heart failure. And so we had to get that under control, and I still have that. And it'll probably be the reason that I die eventually. But my daughters tell me they're no longer worried about me on a daily basis because I'm more active and I seem to have the fluid under control. But congestive heart failure is difficult in a lot of people, and it just comes out of nowhere.
You had a great, great run at Channel 4, probably
yep.
The most well-known meteorologist in Central Ohio, well over 30 years. And you decided, as you say, to stop doing the weather in 2016, September. Why did you stop?
Well, 50 years seemed like a good number. I mean, 50 years and 3 months. Actually, after I retired, I was on the air every week for Football Friday Night, and then I did weather every other weekend for 4 months after I retired. So it wasn't really a total retirement.
It's interesting because I was reading an article this morning when you retired. It's not retirement, that you were going to do Football Friday Night. You were going to continue to do things. And then obviously you have now left Channel 4. Is there any reason for that, or just why did you leave Channel 4?
Well, I cut it off at retirement, and the opening came at Channel 6 when Bill Kelly left. And so there wasn't an opening at this time at Channel 4.
Did you want to leave Channel 4?
Well, I thought so at the time, 50 years. I wanted to be able to have my days to myself. And I think a lot of people say the same thing when they retire. But then you get retired and the grass isn't always greener, as they say.
When you look back at your career in meteorology, what is the biggest event you've covered?
Oh, the biggest event I covered was the flood of 1993 in the middle of the country. The station sent me there, and I was on the Today Show, I was on the Weather Channel, I was on newscasts all around the country, and I was reporting because I was familiar with the area. And after 2 weeks, they sent me back home. But I was only home for a day because my replacement didn't know how to get around all the flood stuff. And so they sent me right back again. So that period of time when we had the floods in the Mississippi Valley, the summer of 93, was the biggest, most important event that I did. Obviously, the derecho here, 2009, was very significant because of the heat and the number of people that died and out of power for a week. Hurricane Ike was a significant event, except it happened in September, so we didn't need the heat or the air conditioning at the time, but we were out of power for a week with that as well.
How did Jim Ganahl get involved in meteorology?
I was not a good student. I was 12 years old, and I was always mad at the people on TV missing the forecast for snow days. So I decided to why are they missing these forecasts for snow days? So the next 4 to 5 years, that's all I did was study weather. And I kind of walked into the TV station. I was 17. It was a week before I started college, and told them I thought I could do it.
What do you make of the Columbus, Ohio atmosphere? What is good about working in Columbus?
Oh, my gosh. It's the absolute perfect Midwestern values town. It's a family kind of a town. It's a safe kind of a town. It's everything about it is where I came from in Iowa. And so I love that, and I love the change of seasons and the ability to have some winters sometimes that I like. And so that's why when I came here, I taught school during the day, and then I did weather at night.
Obviously, Channel 6 knew you're a big personality, probably the most well-known personality in Central Ohio at this particular point in time. What's it like to be Jim Ganahl?
Well, I learned a long time ago when I was age 17 that I would have no privacy, and I'm fine with that. And people always ask me, well, what's your secret? Why do you? I have great interest in people. And so when somebody comes up to me and they want to talk to me about who I am or have a picture with me, I always turn it around and ask about them and their families and what's going on in their life. So whenever anybody leaves the conversation, they feel good because I spent time asking about them. And that was just what I did my whole life, and that's why it works like this.
I think, interestingly enough, in television, radio, newspapers, any medium, internet now, you want to have either the most listeners or viewers or watchers or whatever it is. Being Jim Ganahl on Channel 6 now, do you feel a pressure to get more people there?
No, I don't, not at all. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to enjoy every day that I get, because at my age, it's a blessing, and that's all I care about.
How long do you hope to do it?
I was thinking about that the other day, and I thought, wouldn't it be cool if I could get to my 60th anniversary in about 8.5 years?
Do you think people have found you? You said not everybody knows yet. How long do you think it takes for people to find you?
It's a slow process, I think, and a gradual process, because people are set in their ways and their channels and radio stations. And so it's going to take a while. In the first week, I had 1,000 people on Facebook. I don't know if that's a lot or not, but that's what I had. And so hopefully just by word of mouth, it'll spread a little bit.
What has been the best part of your life? What is the highlight?
7 grandkids.
Keep you young.
Oh, my gosh, do I love them. And they're 3, 5, 7, 9, 11, 13, and 16. I'm with them 4 to 5 days a week. It's easy to babysit when you have that many, because you have a whole soccer team or a whole Star Wars army, no matter what you're playing. And so the 7 grandkids have been a highlight, but I love my 2 daughters as well.
What's been the most difficult part?
The most difficult part would probably have been in the late 1980s. I got addicted to prescription opioids, which are a big topic right now, for a medical problem, and I didn't see it coming because I've never tried marijuana or any other kind of drug. I don't drink, I don't smoke, and yet I got blindsided and did that to myself. And so that was a very humbling thing to have to go on TV and mention that. And when I've had surgeries since, I have to be very, very careful as soon as I'm done with the surgeries to get off the medication, because I'm still, you know, recovering an addict on that. And so I understand about this big opioid crisis, but I also, if anybody's out there listening and struggling with it, it can be beaten. And there, you go through withdrawal all the time, and you know how long withdrawal lasts. So if you can just get through your withdrawal, you are on your way to having a happier life without that.
Jim, being in the public, that was a little more... let me ask it this way. What was it like dealing with that in the public back at that time?
Well, I was like a deer in the headlights. I didn't understand anything about all of that. Station was very patient with me. I went into treatment, and here I am today.
What is that addiction? The Attorney General right now is suing the opioid companies. Do you think it's prescribed too much?
Yes. No question. Absolutely prescribed way too much.
Why do you think that is?
It's a money thing. That's money. My opinion.
Have you ever thought about coming out for things like that? Support political issues?
No, because I've stayed away from politics and religion my whole life, because I figure that half the people that watch me are one way and half are the other way, and they're watching me to get weather. And so my job is to do weather and not be a celebrity as far having the attention on me or have opinions. And that was the way I was brought up in journalism, and sadly I think that part of it has been lost.
Do you have any regrets in this career?
Oh my gosh, no. It's been a hobby my whole life. Who else gets to do something for now finishing my 51st year and still love doing it?
I can hear it in your voice, Jim, that you just feel so good to be back on the air.
I am.
When you got the call, what was that like?
Well, even better, last weekend I was watching one of our newscasts, because I hadn't really watched newscasts on TV, and it dawned on me, hey, I'm a part of a team again. And that was a very uplifting moment.
We've talked a little bit in this interview about leading a public life, and it's a strange thing. Back in 2012, there were some lawsuits filed and things of that nature that made the Columbus newspapers at Channel 4 involving you and a co-worker. What was it like to go through that?
Oh, it wasn't any fun, but at least it got resolved very quickly, and everything is fine, and we're all friends, more of a misunderstanding, and that's gone.
Do you think the papers got it right?
I never looked at any papers.
No, you stayed away from it.
Yes, even when I was on the drug thing, I never look at anything like that or read anything positive or negative. I just kind of go along and do the things the best I can.
The big question people have asked me, were you unhappy at Channel 4?
No. 38 years. The only thing you could be unhappy about is that the weather offices were never close to the rest of the newsroom. We were always in the studio, and so we were kind of alone, and we didn't get to talk to people until actual newscast time. So Cabot Ray and Colleen Marshall, I'd never even have a conversation with them until the actual newscast. So that was the only down part, is because I'm a social person and like talking to people. Right now at 6, we're right in the newsroom, and I love that.
When they found out, Channel 4 found out you were coming back, was there any calls, good or bad?
I had none either. I kept it a secret from everybody right up to the day. And so, no, I haven't really had much contact either way. Ellie Merritt's my dearest friend there, and I told her first, and then, of course, the weather people I've told, and that was about it.
Did you ever, when you realized retirement wasn't quite for you yet, did you ever think about going back to Channel 4 and saying, hey, I'd like to come back?
No, they didn't have an opening. I mentioned this
before. Just didn't have an opening.
And so I knew that I wouldn't be able to go back there unless somebody left, and that's what happened at Channel 6.
It's an interesting run. Is there something to longevity? Are you better now than you were 30 years ago?
In what way?
At predicting the weather.
Well, I got more history that's in my mind. I remember every event. And so if I see a sky condition, I can pretty much tell you what's going to happen based on what happened before. Yes.
Have you kept things over the years? Do you keep records? Do you keep books? Or is it internet?
I don't keep any tapes of shows. I don't have anything that I've done. It's just, to me, when I go on vacation, I never take a camera. And everybody says, well, why not? Well, when you're behind a camera, you don't really see what's going on. You just see through a lens. And so I never wanted to have, tapes and things like that. I wanted to enjoy things live.
What have you in your life, I guess the way I want to say it, what in your life drew you to this life? Do you think it's fate? Do you think it's luck to be as good as you've been, popular as you've been, successful as you've been?
I work hard. I mean, I work 12 hours a day up until I left at Channel 4. I mean, at least. And so I always put in a lot of hours.
What advice would you give to that person who wants to be on television?
Don't get too high on the praise, and don't get too low on the attacks, because you get both of those because you're an easy target.
Your years with Tecumseh, so many people remember that fondly. What are your memories of that?
Well, I was teaching school at the time, and I found out that that was the real history of Ohio. So what better way to explore that and show people the real history of Ohio than to get involved with that program? And I did it for 19 summers, and I loved it. It's like camp for big people. And Simon Kenton's buried in Urbana, not too far from you, and I did that all that time. More recently, I've been with Shadowbox Live, which is the sketch comedy rock and roll theater in downtown Columbus, and I've done 19 shows with them. And in the last year of my retirement, I had several variety shows, like a Jimmy Kimmel show or a Jimmy Fallon show, that I would do and host at Shadowbox. but I also had a lot of shows where I had character parts. And so, and Ben Gelber is in a band. Cabot Ray sings as in plays. And what happens is, when you're on TV, you don't have any reaction from any audience because you're in a studio by yourself. And so for many of us, the only way to get that kind of a feedback is to do something outside of the station.
Is it ever... What part does the money play?
In what?
In decisions.
None.
None. So when you make a decision, I'm going to make a public appearance, I'm going to work here, money's never a factor.
Oh, I never charge for any appearances.
That's a good thing to know. Jim, it's Ohio, it's fall, as we've said. Still kind of, well, it's gotten cool. What happened? What's the weather like today?
Well, we're going to have pretty significant cold surges about every 3 days for the next couple of weeks. And November is never as nice as October. We lose the sunshine, we lose daylight savings time, and we're getting gradually colder every single week. So November is one of the uglier months of the year. And that's coming right up.
You have worked with everybody in your career in Columbus, or at least been at other stations. Who would you say was your best friend in the business?
Cabot Ray and Ben Gelber are my best friends, but Ellie Merritt is very, very close.
What makes Ben Gelber good? We all love Ben as well.
Well, Ben works tirelessly, always wants to get better, and he knows everything about weather, so he's just great.
Just want to throw a couple names at you. We have about 3 minutes left here. What was it like working with Jimmy Crum? Everybody remembers him.
Oh, yeah, no kidding. Well, the funny thing that he had, like falling off chairs and things like that, being attacked by wrestlers when they had the wrestling show, those are the things that I remember more than all of the good things he did with Recreation Unlimited and Children's Hospital and stuff like that. There were so many things that behind the scenes that were just laugh a minute with him.
And when you came to Columbus, Ohio, the big meteorologist was Joe Holbrook. Did you ever have a relationship with him?
Oh, yeah, I had a really good relationship with Joe. He was a fantastic person.
Colleen Marshall, what was she like to work with?
Can you imagine a woman doing the news and working like 2 to midnight every day while her 2 kids are in high school and she's in law school at Capital? How in the world do you do all of that and do everything well? It was amazing.
Who, in your opinion, was the best anchor team at Channel 4?
Well, for ratings, it had to be Doug Adair and Mona Scott, because that was the time we were number one.
Doug is still around. He's still with us. What was Doug like to work with?
He had a very wry sense of humor, and a dry sense of humor, you might call it, too. And he was like Ted Baxter on the Mary Tyler Moore Show.
You know, Jim, I think one of the reasons that your return has made such big news that people are excited about it is because you are in that Doug Adair, Jimmy Crum,
Mona Scott,
well-known mold. And when somebody goes, it doesn't happen very often that they go to a different station. And it's just great that you've been able to find another life doing this. Does it, you say you got a, haven't really got any calls from anybody at Channel 4. Does that bother you in any way?
Oh, no. Everybody's busy. They probably don't even know I'm on there most of the time.
Jim, 100 years from now, how do you want people to remember you? You got a whole 10 years to go here.
I don't know. I just, they probably won't remember me because of their own lives, but I just tried the hardest to do the best I could all the time.
Jim, we were trying to get this together, and I'm so glad we finally did, because you have been very open and very honest, and let me ask you anything, and I want to offer my personal, glad you're back.
Yeah, I know we couldn't get together. It was hard for me to come up to Marion.
Yeah, sometime we're going to have to do it, though.
It'll. That is so hard.
I know, but one day, and I know you know him, Bob's Weather up here in Marion, he gives all credit to Jim Gunnall. Loves Jim.
Oh, Bob's a big big Marion star.
He absolutely is, and getting his picture with you back in high school to come down there was a big deal. So you have impacted lives. And remember, Jim, tell them when you're on so the listeners can know.
I do the noon hour 5 days a week, and then I fill in at nights as needed.
Channel 6, Jim Ganahl. Back in the saddle. What a pleasure, Jim. My congratulations to you, and keep on keeping on.
Thank you, young man.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Jim Ganahl. Hey, that was a lot of fun. For this day, though, I'm out of here. This is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Ever think of a student that I didn't like?
Yeah. And